Psalm 119, and we're going to begin here tonight at verse 73. And the Bible says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without cause. But I will meditate upon in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you now, Lord, that you just bless the reading of your word. And Father, we just ask, Lord, as I preach on the outside, dear God, that your Holy Ghost would preach to us on the inside. And that you would take these words, Lord, and you would apply them and show us in our lives that we could be closer to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this stanza here begins with a, what it is, if you look at it, it is a prayer. This whole stanza is a deep prayer. And he is really seeking out the Lord. He is going through a hardship. He's going through a trial in his life. And in this trial, it is drawing him closer to God. It is drawing him into the presence of the Lord, and he's asking the Lord to help him. And notice how he begins, and he says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." You know, he begins by acknowledging the fact that God is his creator, that he was created and fashioned by the Lord himself, that his body was created by God. And if I flip back a few pages to Psalm 100 in verse 3, probably a psalm I wish all of our science teachers could memorize. It says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." It's funny how a lot of folks think that we kind of made ourselves. It rained on the rocks, and we evolved from there. But the Bible tells us that we didn't make ourselves. God is our creator. And everyone that's alive today, I want you to know that you were created and fashioned by God himself. And I believe that he had an active part in all of our lives. That's why we're here. And because God is the creator, and since God made our bodies and he made our minds, any need that we have, surely our creator can fulfill it, can't he? And his need here is, notice, that he's given me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. So his prayer to God is, since you've made me and you created me, he says, "With my mind, give me understanding." And notice what he says, "that I may learn thy commandments." What is a commandment, by the way? Isn't a commandment is something that God has said we should do or not do? You see what his heart is here in verse 73. His heart is to obey God. He wants to obey God. He wants to obey God more with his life, not less. He wants to do more obedience, and that's his prayer. "Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments, that I can be more obedient to you." And that's the desire of a growing Christian. And by the way, and I know I've said this before, but as a Christian, I want you to know this. You will not grow any more than your understanding of the Scriptures. As a Christian, you're only going to grow as you can take the Scriptures in and learn from them and internalize God's Word and use it in your life. As you hear God's Word, as you read God's Word, and you apply it to your life, that is the only place Christian growth comes from. That's where it all comes from. And so the more of God's Word that we take in, the more you're going to grow. And that's what he wants. He wants to live a life that is completely pleasing to God. So that's how he begins. But I want you to notice, secondly, his prayer of example. In verse 74, he says, "They that fear thee will be glad when they see me." I lost my place. "Because I have hoped in thy word." Those that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Now, as we notice, we're going to see here in a little bit, he's going through a trial. And notice that you're going to see here in a minute, he's going through one of the hardest trials of his life. He is going through one storm. I mean, it's one more storm. And he's just barely making it. And notice what he's saying here is while he's going through this hardship, notice what he says. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. They that fear thee is talking about believers, true Christians. Those that fear God, those that truly are born again. When they see the psalmist, they're going to be glad because they're watching him. They're watching him. He's going through this trial and God's people are watching him with anticipation, hoping that he does well. You know, when you go through a trial and you go through tribulation, it can be profitable to you or it can be unprofitable to you. We can take this tribulation, we can grow from it, or we can grow away from God from it. And what he's wanting is he wanting to grow closer to God. And though he's going through this trial, there's people that are praying for him, that love him, and they see him going through this struggle. And they are anticipating that he'll do good, he'll profit from it. And so he wants people, when they see him, that they'll be glad. Let's go back to this morning. You remember when the decree was made that no one could pray except to the king? Everyone's looking at Daniel to see what Daniel's going to do. Daniel is going through a trial now. He's going to go through a test, the time of tribulation. What is important? What's he going to do? And everyone's watching him. And what did Daniel do? He came out victorious because he was faithful to God. He let that be a time to draw closer to God, not further from God. He didn't let them pull him away from the Lord, but he went back and he prayed like he always did. And so, and that's what he's happened to. So even though we go through a trial, and I want you to know, you may feel like you're alone, but I want to remind everyone here tonight that if you're part of our church, if you have a trial and we know about it, you're not going through it alone. Okay, we're praying for you. We've got your back and we want to help you. If we can counsel you, if we can talk to you and pray with you in God's word, whatever we can do as brothers and sisters, we're there with you. We're not going to let you go by yourself. But not only are we with you, but of course God is with you. He of course will never leave you nor forsake thee. And I tell you, I kind of go back to Psalm 23. I just love what it says here. In verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Boy, isn't that comforting? Going through the valley of the shadow of death. That's about as low of a valley as you can go through. But guess who's with you? God's with you. And I'm going to tell you, God's people are praying for you, and they're with you too. And so that's the prayer that he wants his life to be an example as he's going through this trial and this tribulation. Now notice what he says in verse 75. I know, comma. So what does he know? He knows this. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. No doubt. He is certain. He is not in any kind of instability here. He has complete confidence in what he's about to say. When he says, I know, this is solid for him like a rock. And what does he know? He knows without a shadow of a doubt, he knows that God's judgments are right. And he says, that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. So though he is going through this trial, notice he's acknowledging who is allowing him to go through this trial. God is. Now, I want you to understand, you will never go through a trial that God does not allow. He allows it. And notice what he's saying here, that though he's going through this trial, he knows that though this trial though is in fact being brought on by what you see down in verse 78, the proud are doing it, but God's allowing it. And even though that God's allowing me to go through this low, low valley, he knows without a doubt that God is faithful. God is faithful, and that this trial, as bad as it is, has a tremendously great purpose, okay? And so when we go through these valleys, these trials, you'll notice here that he doesn't hate God. He's not angry at God. He's not blaming God. But you know what trials do? Again, trials are going to either bring you closer to God or bring you further from God, and that's completely up to you how you handle it. But see, a trial is designed to bring you closer to God. That as you go through this hardship, that you will seek the Lord and you'll draw closer to Him and you'll seek His help, and you'll humble yourself before Him. And that's what He's saying. And He's saying, even though I'm going through this trial, He makes this great statement. He says, that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. God is not afflicting him because he's mad at him or he hates him. This is all part of his growing process. He'll grow close to the Lord. Let me flip over here to James chapter 1 and verse 3. James 1, 3. And I just want to remind the church of what it says here. James chapter 1 and verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, sometimes when our faith is tried, God will bring patience out of that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Let me share that with you. 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. So you notice when we go through these trials, the Bible tells us that we don't do what's natural, but you should rejoice. Because this is a time where God can help you get closer to Him and you can grow in this. And you know, that's what these trials are all about. And if I'm honest and look at my life, and I look back in the times in my life where I was going through these trials and these valleys, there were always times that God brought Himself closer to me. It was a time where I grew in the Lord. And you're going to find the same for yourself. At these hardships that are so terrible, God has a way of working it out that you're closer to Him when it's over. And what I love, the psalmist, he's not angry. He's not bitter. He's not blaming God. But he recognizes that God in His faithfulness is allowing this to happen to him. That's the sign of a mature Christian. He understands that God is allowing this for his growth and his benefit. But I want you to notice also his prayer for comfort. In verse 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Now, even though God is allowing his conflict, you know what else God gives during conflict? God also gives his comfort. And that's what he's praying for. He's praying that God would give him comfort, this merciful kindness. Let me share Psalm 86 and verse 17. Psalm 86, 17. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. And that's something that God does. God is a comforting God, and he comforts us when we're down. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. And I love this verse. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Who is a comforting God? Our God is. He's the God of all comfort. And he's the one that brings comfort to us and gives us comfort. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 22. I want you to notice that Jesus gave comfort to people. Matthew 9, 22. I love hearing what Jesus said to the woman. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. See how Jesus spoke comfort? And when you go to John chapter 16 and verse 22, you'll see again one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is he is called in the scriptures the great comforter. He's the comforter. John chapter 16 verse 22. And now ye therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I don't think that's the right verse. Let me look at verse 33. I know verse 33 is correct. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. All right, let me just look here. Let's just look here. I know it's in John chapter 16. Maybe it was 15:22. No. Anyways, you're going to see here that the Holy Ghost, he's called the Comforter here. And you remember reading those verses where he brings comfort to us. Well, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Isn't that neat that God's Spirit is called the Comforter? That's what it's one of his jobs is. When you're down and you need comfort, God's Spirit brings comfort to you through the ministry of the Word. As you read God's Word, God can comfort you and help you. That's why it's so important that when you're down and you're discouraged and you're going through these trials, we need more than ever to go and get into God's Word. And you know, when you're going through a trial, I'll be honest, you don't want to get into the Bible. You don't want to read. You just don't feel like it. But it's at those times that you need it more than ever to get into God's Word and to read it and let the Holy Ghost comfort you and help you. So, and that's what the great physician does. Jesus is a great physician. He brings comfort to our souls. So we go now to verse 77. Let's look at verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Do you understand? You see how low this man is right now in his trial? Look what he says. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I might that I may live. You see, he's so low that he's not even sure if he's going to make it through this life. He's that low. He feels like that he may not even make it. He's so low that he says, unless your tender mercies help me, I don't know that I'm going to make it through this. So his prayer is seeking out the Lord. And his enemies are all around him. You see them in verse 78. They're all around and they're discouraging him. And he's so low that he doesn't know if he's going to make it. But if you've ever been that low before that you weren't sure if he's going to make it, you know, if you have been that low, you know, you're in good company. Because some of the greatest people in the Word of God have been that low. How low was Elijah when Jezebel gave the decree that she was going to kill him? Over in 1 Kings chapter 19, let me just share with you. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4. I want you to listen how low Elijah got. 1 Kings 19:4. But he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. That's pretty low, isn't it? That's pretty low to get. That's where he was. Not only did Elijah get that low, but can you think of anyone else in the Bible that got that low? Who's that? Job did, absolutely. Job chapter 6, verse 8. Job chapter 6, verse 8. And I think I got the right scripture here. It says, oh, that I might have my request that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Job got so low, he said, Lord, I just wish you'd let me die. That's pretty low. That's pretty low. I remember this morning we talked about Job. Job, Moses, and Daniel were all put together as incredibly righteous men. And even this righteous man Job in his trial got so low that he didn't want to live. Can you think of anyone else in the Bible that got that low? Now, I don't know if this is really a trial or if this was having a fit. I'm not going to turn. Remember Jonah? When the gourd died and it was hot and the wind was blowing on him, remember what he said? It was better that he not be alive. But I think he was just mad that God spared the Ninevites. But you know, Moses got pretty low. Moses got pretty low one time. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 15. Listen to how low Moses got. Moses, one of the meekest men that ever lived. Verse 14, Numbers 11, 14. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. That burden was so great. If thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand. Out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And again, you see a man that's so discouraged and so down that he didn't even want to live anymore. And I'm not going to turn there, but Jeremiah 15, 10. I believe Jeremiah asked that he wasn't even born. And so, you know, it's easy to get so low that you feel that way. And that's, I think, how the psalmist here, he says, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I might live. And he's saying, if God doesn't have mercy and help me, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But I'll remind you something. Even though you feel low, God can pull you out of that pit. He can still get you out of there. And don't let the devil discourage you and tell you there's no hope for you. There is always hope. If you're alive and there's a God in heaven, there's always hope. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse 1. I love this verse. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Here the psalmist, this is going right along we're talking about tonight. He went through a trial. He's down in the pit. He's in a pit as low as he can go. And out of that pit, stuck in that miry clay, God pulled him out and put him on a rock. And what did he put in his heart? Do you remember what it was?
Song.
A new song. By the way, do you sing when you're sad or do you sing when you're happy? See, God took him all the way from being so down and put joy in his heart again. And just remember, every trial we go through, there's going to be a time when the sun comes out again and life is going to get better. And so that's the psalmist here. He's praying that. So we get to verse 78. You're going to see those. You see what's happening to him. It says here, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. So what we see happening here is the proud, whoever these proud are, which are always opposed to God, these proud people, they have said a lie about him. They have spread some kind of false rumor, something perversely they said. And it has hurt him. It has hurt his testimony, and it was just a wicked thing that they did. And I want you to notice verse 79. Notice the effects of what these people have done to him. He says, "Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies." Now, in verse 79, there's two things he does to describe a saved person. Again, a saved person, those that truly have been born again. They're going to fear thee, and they're going to know the testimonies. They know the word, and they fear God. Okay, but notice what does he ask that God would let them happen? Let those that fear thee turn unto me. During this trial, some people that he loved and that were God's people, they believed the lies, and they've turned away from him. They've turned their back on him, and he's alone. He feels like he's kind of by, and those that have turned away from him, he's not mad at him, but he asks God, would you turn them back to me? You know what's sad in this world? It just takes an accusation. And your character and testimony is pretty much destroyed. And we see this ever so true right now in the news. Now, if you did it, well, you get what you got coming. That's fine. But I tell you what, today, if there's an accusation made against you, you're already just found guilty, basically, aren't you? And your character and your testimony is ruined just by a false accusation. And that's what's happened to this man. These accusations have hurt him. And people have turned away from him. And his prayer is that God would turn their hearts back. And I know God will. And let's close and look at verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. You know what he's saying is, let my heart be sound. Let it be solid in the word. Help me understand the word. Help me live the word and do the word. And he's asking God, you know, God is the one that knows our hearts. He looks at our hearts and no one else can see. I believe it talks about, is it in Samuel where God, when David was going to be king, they're picking out little David. Remember, it says, God, a man looks on the outward, but the Lord looks on the inward. And he wants his heart to be solid. If I flip over here to Psalm 139 and verse 23. 139 and 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And here's the prayer, I think, of every believer. Is God, I want you to search my heart. And where there's wickedness, where there's wrongness, where there's sin, show it to me and expose it to me. Help me to turn from that I can walk the right path. And that's what I think the psalmist here is saying. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. So that's what we had tonight, as we kind of just want to graze through God's word. And I love this psalm. It's just such a great psalm, and it's so encouraging about how great God's word is. Let's all stand together tonight.